We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or on our YouTube channel, all over social media, or our morning newsletter, KCSN Daily, dedicated to your Kansas City Chiefs. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
KC Laboratory, sponsored by Emprise Bank.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the KC Laboratory, brought to you by Emprise Bank. Listen, Emprise has told you time and time again that where you bank is not as important as who you bank with. Emprise Bank has the ability to do it through your computer, your phone, your watch. They can help you achieve your goals from wherever you are, just like Emprise Bank is helping us achieve our goals here at the KC Laboratory and at KCSN. They are our partner in possible. Emprise Bank, member FDIC. We really appreciate them, and I really appreciate Derek Johnson joining me this week on the KC Laboratory. It's been a little while, DJ. You know, we were doing film breakdowns during the season with our buddy Mike DeVito here. I asked you to come on here and talk a little bit. But first, I wanted to ask you real quick about this. You are nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame this year. I mean, what kind of honor is that? I mean, how awesome is that to hear that your name is thrown around in consideration for such a thing?
Craig, it's a big honor, actually. I've always prided myself off being a Longhorn and playing college football at a high level. And 2001 to 2004 was pretty good years at Texas, to say the least. But I tell you what, man, I'm so blessed to be in that small circle of greatness when it comes to College Football Hall of Fame. I know some guys that are in there already. So I can progress and to get on the actual induction ballot soon. So that'll be cool. But to be added for the first time this year to that long list of ballot, hopefully I can come off of there inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, as far as Chiefs fans consider, like, you're in our minds. Like, you're definitely in our minds. Like, I'm not stretching too far here by saying
thank you.
Ring of Honor, future Ring of Honor. I'll put my reputation on it there, Chiefs Ring of Honor. So, but this offseason, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this because the defense has gone a huge overhaul here. They drafted a whole bunch of guys in the secondary, added a whole bunch of free agents in the secondary. They lost guys like Tyrann Mathieu, Charvarius Ward, Dan Sorensen. They have turned now, you know, to a first-round defensive end, first-round cornerback. They lose Anthony Hitchens. There's a whole lot of guys that played very big leadership roles in this team that now all of a sudden the Chiefs are having to try and replace. And, I mean, you can never replace what Hitchens, Tyrann Mathieu, these guys actually bring to the team. You know, everybody does it a little bit differently, but you've been through a couple of these. So I thought that I would talk to you a little bit about what it feels like to undergo this thing, you know, this transition. So let's start with the player side. You see guys like Hitchens and Tyrann Mathieu, these guys that are in front of the podium all the time. They are the guys that are very well regarded. They are the guys that are called the leaders of the defense, are now going out and being replaced by younger players. You know, Nick Bolton's on this team. Justin Reed was brought in as a free agent. In your experience, when you see those sorts of guys move along, is there a transitional period before some of these guys step up? Or do you see guys that are just kind of ready to go, that are raring to step in there and sort of claim some of those leadership roles, you know, calling everybody, getting everybody on the same page? Or does it happen a little more organically, like through camp and OTAs?
Well, the good thing about the NFL is you can have a quick turnaround. That's just how it is. It's not college. You don't have to wait, you know, for guys to develop. Obviously, young guys do develop throughout the NFL, but they're going to be asked to play and play at a high level early. And nothing's wrong with that. What it's going to do is test the coaching staff to get everybody on the same page. Every year is different because, I mean, you get new acquisitions all the time. Every year is a little different. You know, some Pro Bowl players stay, some Pro Bowl players leave. I mean, that's just what the NFL is. But how you respond to that adversity is going to be a big key on our success. And I like to call ourselves we're a veteran team. Veteran team meaning we know how to win. We know how to figure things out during tough times. We won a lot of games that way. And you got Andy Reid at the top of the food chain. So when you got him, things are going to come together quicker than other teams, because everybody's dealing with this, by the way. This is not just a mm-hmm. Chiefs deal. But I tell you what, I'm still excited to see these young guys step in, like Reed, and step in, certain guys step in the draft picks, because doing the training for OTAs now, and then they'll break for a little bit, then go to training camp. That's the big key right there. It's all about building the chemistry, especially with new guys, especially in the secondary. I mean, they have to be on the same page. Everybody does. This is the ultimate team game. But I tell you what, this is going to be a challenge. But we got Pat Mahomes, and we have Andy Reid, Chris Jones. We're not putting it all on them, but
there's a good foundation there. There's a good foundation there. When you have that sort of transition, and I mean, it sounds like Nick Bolton is going to be the guy that's kind of running the huddle a little bit. And they got to experience that a little bit last year when Hitch had to miss a little bit of time.
Yep.
How much of an adjustment is that as a player to hear a different guy, even just spitting out the stuff in the huddle, adjusting to the cadence, adjusting how they do things, like when there's motions and they're calling things out? I mean, I'm sure that like the coaching staff tries to line everybody up so it's as similar as possible, but there's got to be natural differences there. Did you ever encounter that, like when you guys had to switch through some of those play callers, or even when you took over some of that stuff and were having to spit out some of that in the huddle? Did you feel like you had to adjust things so that everybody was on the same page?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. When you got guys like Tyrann Mathieu that's not on the team anymore, he's an extra set of hands out there on the field. When I'm a linebacker, I'm looking at him. He's reminding me stuff. I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey, motion this way. You know, we calling different stuff. So when you don't have him, the more onus goes on the defensive line or the linebackers in Bolton. I tell you what, just to give Bolton some credit, Nick he's a smarter player than I was when at his age, because I see him do a bunch of things out there on the field, being a game manager, being that quarterback, taking presence early and often mentally. Of course, he can run around and stuff and make plays, but I'm talking mentally. He's a step above me early in my career. Now, I caught up, after a few years and was really blessed in that area mentally to make it all stick together. But I tell you what, man, they're in good hands with Nick. And I mean, especially Willie will be beside them. I mean, we're going to have some pass rushers. I mean, secondary wise, we'll find the right guys, because at the end of the day, this is a passing league. It's a league. It's not an I formation league. It's not a 22 personnel, 21 personnel. This is a get your dime and get your nickel out on the field and try to stop us. And it'll be first down, and we may run RPOs. We may do all that stuff. But this is a passing league, and our secondary, we'll find the right pieces, but chemistry needs to be key.
Yeah, and that's important. And what you were saying about Nick Bolton there, for those of you who may are just subscribing to KCSN or saw DJ pop up in your timeline here and are unaware, go back earlier this season in the YouTube page. DJ and Mike DeVito broke down the defense through the back half of the year there, and you can see, you hear DJ and Mike talk about the progression that Nick Bolton was making and some of the things, like you can see exactly the ways that he was showing how smart he was and all of that. So yeah, no, I agree. I think that they're going to be in good hands there. When you talk about development, player development, like you said, you know, you're not at the college level. These guys are coming in. They're more or less veterans. You know, they know the way that things largely need to be done, but there is a new linebackers coach, and he was a defensive line coach, Brendan Daly, last year, moves to linebackers coach. Joe Cullen comes over from the Jacksonville Jaguars as the new defensive line coach, primarily from a 3-4, but has done some 4-3 stuff as well. Brendan Daly was the run game coordinator, a guy that was responsible for run fits and setting up all that stuff for the defense, now is moving to linebacker with a lot of young guys. You know, like you said, you got Nick Bolton, you got Willie Gay, you got a new guy in Leo Chanel playing the Sam linebacker, who's just also a ridiculous athlete as well. So there's going to be a lot of speed on the edges. We've talked a little bit about positional coaches and how important they are to this team and to your position group. That's another new voice. So I know that he's been with the team before, but do you think that there's going to be a transitional period? Do you think that there's going to be a moment where things are going to click a little bit better? Or does that stuff sort of happen in OTAs and in camp that everybody gets on the same page? Like you said, the chemistry element of all that, does that happen early on, or is it something that you kind of figure out throughout the year?
No, just because he's been on the team. So he's been on the defense. He knows the defense in and out, being the defensive, the run coordinator. And now being able to move to the linebackers coach, I tell you, he'll step right in. Guys already respect him. So it's not a deal where you try to learn a personality or learning this guy, learning that guy. They already know each other. So that's a great transition. But it's always, at the end of the day, it's always going to be some work involved, some hard work involved. And they're going to have to, of course, you got, you know, couple stud young guys like Willie and Nick, but they're going to be some few guys that rear their heads up and want to play more. You know, that's the competition part of it. But being going back to Nick, making sure that, because I can remember now when I was playing that middle backer and I first got that green dot on my helmet, first started calling plays, it actually stretches you. It actually pushes you to know a lot more. So that's where he has a one up on me, because I didn't really get to that green dot till year three, year four, and he's got it, you know, right off the bat. So I mean, he's mentally, I think they're in good hands with him being Nick being in the middle of the defense. But again, I can't wait to, and I don't know if I can do it this year, but I just want to go to training camp. Training camp, man, you see so much growth. You see so many little things in training camp, because it's, you know, you got individuals, then you got the inside drill. You have 7-on-7, then you got team, and I mean, it's all kind of stuff. So you can see a lot of things. And it's a lot of coaching going on. A lot of guys going to fall down. A lot of guys going to rise to the top. So I'm kind of getting excited about training camp. I don't know why I always, every year, even my last year, get excited. That's the passion I have about football. because training camp, you see a lot. Things come out, especially in your players and the coaches. So training camp is going to be key, building that foundation, that chemistry, especially with a lot of new additions.
I mean, yeah, and they got a bunch of rookies that I think the word that we probably used on this podcast network 3 billion times since the draft is football character. A bunch of guys that just love the game, absolutely love the game. So I think that we'll see that come out in training camp. You mentioned a little bit about the green dot. I want you to expand on this as much as you feel comfortable. What sorts of things were the biggest adjustments? Not necessarily that it was difficult for you to get to that, but what was the biggest adjustment? Not just, you know, spitting everything out, but having to maybe how to understand what every single level of the defense needed to be doing, making those adjustments on the fly. What was the thing that stuck out the most to you when you were first learning and you first got the green dot that you had to make the biggest adjustment in the mental part of your game?
Yeah, the when I first got the green dot as a young player, commanding the huddle, being confident and being able to call plays in the middle of chaos and get people a call. Because somebody, they always say somebody's got to give a call and somebody's got to get a call. So you have to, it has to work that way. So you can't say, oh, I called this and the guy didn't get it. Somebody has to give a call and somebody has to get a call. So I always remember that. And regardless of how crazy it is, I mean, I love Tumba Ali to death, but there are times where Tumba's all about rushing, and we know that. And I love him for that. But there are sometimes he's like, hey, what's the call? Or he's in the midst of it and they're hurrying up and I've already called everything. And I'm like, hey, you rush. And that just clearing his mind, because I don't have to tell him, hey, this is the play, whatever. It's like, no, you rush. I already know. Or you drop. You're off of number two. You got to have somebody in the middle that knows it like that. Yeah. So I don't have to tell him the whole play. So now he's lined up like, oh man, okay. Am I on the weak side or strong side? Like what, you know, no, hey, you rush or you drop or whatever. Just commanding the huddle. Making sure everybody gets a call. It's a big, big responsibility. It's really the quarterback of the defense. It really is. And there are times where the mic cuts out. It cuts out on you and you're like, oh man, you got to make a call. And you have to go over those scenarios with the coaches before the game and say, hey, what's a default call? If we're in nickel, what's a default call? If it's second down, if it's third down, if it's short, what do you want me to do? Those things need to come up because it will happen. It happens all the time. But at the same time, being able to be in shape, you got to be a dog in the middle to call the plays and not call it with your mouthpiece in your mouth. And it's a lot of things going on. You have to be able to be comfortable during chaos and be confident. And we got some players that can do that. So, but it is a lot. It's a lot.
I don't think that people understand. I'm glad that you went into that detail. I don't think people understand. I think people think that, oh, they got the mic in the helmet. And so, you know, they just take what Steve Spagnuolo is saying in their ear and just turn around and throw it.
It actually cuts off. It cuts off at a certain point. And when they hurry up, it doesn't work all the time. Just trust me.
You got to go. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to have some game management in you, and you just got to be a coach on the field. That's why having that green dot, you have to know your plays inside and out, and not only your plays. That should come second nature. You should be more worried about, okay, it's first down, it's a second and long now. What's the tendencies and certain things like that, just so you can help out. You got defensive linemen that only think about rushing the passer and. Or stopping the run, and I want them like that. So I don't want them to be thinking, oh, this guy. Now it helps. Don't get me wrong, DeVito.
Sure,
he'll attest to saying, okay, this guy's back, or this lineman is doing this. But there's a lot of times linebackers and safeties we're echoing certain stuff. Hey, watch out for this. Oh, pass, or just saying little code words just to help out on the end. And on the defensive line, but. I tell you what, Tumba Ali and Justin Houston, them guys, when they're on the outside, a lot of things are coming to my head now, but they're on the outside And when they get a key, let's say a key for an offensive tackle is when that foot is way back, it's probably a pass. Or if the outside leg, the heel is down, then it's probably a run, so they can really get down and cut somebody off. They're not saying it out loud, but they're looking at me saying, hey, pass. Or are they looking? Mm-hmm. So not that I'm guessing, but now I know. He said, Tumba said it's going to be a run. If it's a run, I'm about to blow it up. But if it's a pass, right, I'll react to it.
Right. Right. It makes sense. It's relying on all of your context clues and everybody's contract clues and having that chemistry there.
Everybody. Right. I always tell people when they're out there that, especially being the guy in the middle, because I'm talking a lot and I'm mm-hmm. anticipating certain stuff. If you say, hey, it's third and short. If you can say something, because sometimes I'm out here conducting, I'm like, oh, I forgot it was third and short. I mean, like yeah. It's okay to say that. Like that mm-hmm. helps me to, now I go to my mental gymnastics. I'm like, oh, okay. Now let me change to this. But yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. We're going to take a quick break here and we will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, we are back with Derek Johnson. Real pleasure having you on, DJ. I also want to remind people, DJ's Defend the Dream Foundation. During the season when we're doing our film reviews, like we always push that so much. I want to make sure to push that here. We're going to throw a link down below. So get down there. If you got a little extra change, throw it his way. Throw it the foundation's way. Help out some kids. Help out his foundation as an appreciation for him joining us here on the KC Lab this week. All right, let's get into maybe some of the other opponents that the Chiefs are going to have here. It seems like the AFC West has just decided to stock up. It's an arms race now. You know, Russell Wilson has joined. Davante Adams goes with the Raiders. You got Khalil Mack now entering the fray here. Not just as a defender here, but as a player. As you're in this period here, you're in OTAs. It's now mandatory OTAs when we're recording this. Are you guys looking around the division a little bit yet? Or are you just still trying to gain that chemistry, trying to get everybody on the same page? Or, you know, is there some sort of conversations maybe with position coaches or maybe without coaches? Just, you know, some of the players sitting around being like, man, you see what they're trying to do in our division? Like, you guys have those sorts of conversations at this point in the year yet?
Yeah, the perfect answer would say no. We're just worried about ourselves, and we're just, you know, we're handling our business. But let's be honest, we do talk about our division and some things we need to do to get done. Do we keep our confidence? Do we think we're going to, you know, handle up? Yes, absolutely. There is a sense of urgency. There is a little bit of pressure. A positive pressure, because we can obviously get the job done to make things work, and we gotta, our chemistry have to be even on even more, because this is not the Denver team that doesn't really have that type of quarterback that you're not relying on. The Chargers are getting better every, you know, especially with the young quarterback they have and the defense they have. And now the Raiders is not the up and down Raiders. You're like, the Raiders is a team you gotta handle. You gotta go in and really physically beat them. And for them to have Adams now, which gives them more firepower under a veteran quarterback. But I still got my money on the Chiefs.
Oh yeah, of course, you do. Until Andy Reid loses one of these, I mean, the smart money's there. Smart money's there. I just think it's very interesting to watch how the focus for all these other teams has been to load up. You know, you're spending big money on pass rushers, big money on receivers, spending all this money, and the Chiefs appear this season, you know, trading away Tyreek Hill, letting Tyrann Mathieu letting Anthony Hitchens walk, you know, kind of seeing some of these moves have made a concerted effort to get younger. And I think that we've seen with Brett Veach, you know, throughout his tenure as general manager, he has done some of those things in the past, but it seems like even more hyper-focused on that. Do you think that that's more of a, hey, we're going to zig when everybody else is going to zag? Like, they're trying so hard to hang with us. And we know that we've got Mahomes. We know that we got Chris Jones, Frank Clark, these guys on defense that are going to be, you know, reliable options for us. Travis Kelce is going to be a reliable option. Let's try and save a little bit of money, get a little bit younger, knowing that those teams are going to have to pay all this money out over the next 3 or 4 years. Maybe won't have the assets to hang with what the Chiefs can do going forward.
Yeah, Craig, you just said it. That's it. That's actually the game plan. Being able to get younger and win at the same time. That's kind of the ideal way to manage an NFL team. I'm not an owner, obviously, but just been over it. You know, been through it for 14 years. I know that if you can win and get younger, I mean, that's kind of that's going to set you up for the long haul. You can win for a long time, and the Chiefs seem to have the ingredients to do that. But I'm excited. I'm really excited about this year, just because it's gonna test the Chiefs a little bit. Just because we got a couple people that's not there, especially Tyreek Hill, which is probably the biggest
name. Huge.
So, we seem to know what we're doing, you know, especially a veteran coach like Andy Reid, and I just respect what he stands for and how he gets his players to play for him. Because a lot of head coaches, it's an up and down deal, you know. When you're losing, it's bad. When you're winning, it's good. Andy is kind of like, hey, during adversity or during tough times, we're gonna play for you, Andy, and the guys that show up for him. It's been that way since he came in, 2013. So
I don't expect anything different, even with all those new faces, even on offense, on defense, all of that. I don't expect anything different. I think that he's going to close it out. DJ, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk a little bit about this. I love that we got to talk a little bit about the defense and everything. I am really excited, like you, not only just to get to training camp, but also get to the season, figure out what this defense is really going to look like with all the new faces, and the new moving parts and everything like that. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So I really appreciate you joining me today.
I appreciate it, Craig.
All right. That is going to do it for the KC Lab this week. We thank you so much for listening. If you are listening, go ahead and subscribe to this channel, and then go back, watch some more of the DJ stuff from the film rooms back there. Like it, share it, tell your friends, give us 5 stars on Apple, give us 5 stars on Spotify, wherever you can. Let us know how you're feeling about it. That really helps us. So until next week, we're going to have more coming here. We will catch you later.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.